as Wiltord makes a run ahead of it. Bergkamp suddenly changed pace through the centre. It's Bergkamp! That's magnificent! The move, and then this, which left Dabby's ass totally stranded.
Hello, and welcome to a Bergkamp Wonderland, the home of Arsenal. Seven Premier League games, seven Premier League wins, 31 goals scored, 3 goals conceded. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Arteta ball. 5-0, 2-1, 3-1, 6-0, 5-0, 4-1, 6-0. No one can grumble at that. With me tonight to grumble about that, it's Deke. Hello, Treacle.
You're right, mate. I think the only thing I can grumble about is the fact that I predicted 7-0 and we didn't get 7-0. So I'm highly disappointed. Clearly a decline in the team, which you're going to have to hope and pray that we can all hold it together towards the end of the season.
I mean, that second half performance was sackable offence to only score one goal. I mean, what the actual holy hell are they playing at?
Isn't it funny how people are like, oh, that's an appalling second half and stuff. And what you've got to remember is we made a load of changes. We brought back a load of players that have been in and out of the side. Yeah. Partey looked rusty, but showed glimpses of what he could do again, which is brilliant. We've got Fabio Vieira back in the side, Jesus back in the side. So there's going to be moments where it's going to be a little bit rusty, but we finished the game with an overall of 80% possession throughout the entire match. There's nothing to grumble at. That's a fantastic performance from the team. Of course, we'd love to score more. And we even brought Saka off at halftime. We even let him have a rest. Our most vital player, the man who is just doing the business. We gave him a rest.
If anybody watching knows, or if you know, we were close to breaking the record for the most number of Premier League passes in the game. We ended up on 892 passes, of which 825 were accurate passes. Because I was busy pressing buttons and panicking about something going wrong. So I may well have missed the end of that. So if anybody knows, do let us know. Did you hear? Because I didn't.
I didn't hear that, no. No, I missed that. I missed that. My stream kept cutting out constantly, driving me absolutely nuts.
Mine has been a bit on and off as well. Let's say hello to some of the boys and girls in the chat. Well, it'll only be boys, really. There's Deke, called 7-0, and that was at 9:33 p.m., so the game hadn't even finished. Liam, disappointing second half stuff. Patrick Carlson, that'll do. Our very own Stefan, that was sick. No, Stefan, we're too old to use the word sick. Ron Ree has turned up probably 3 shows in a row. I think he wins a tenner. We're going to score. Oh, for fuck's sake, mate. Ron Ree, we're going to score in a minute. That's what you get for using your phone and not a computer. If you think we're going to score in a minute, I think he means. Yes. And lots of numbers. Yes, disappointing second half. No real desire to add a significantly goal difference. Hope the Martellini injury isn't serious.
He's fine.
Changed his second half, completely ruined the flow of the game.
I've explained that.
Tom Andrew, oi, oi. Si is there. Hello, hello. Arteta out. Paul Nell, not Neil, is there. Oi, oi. Phil Macker is there. Avon Not Teddington is there. Oh, here you go. Here's a new name. Ben Lagenberry. Yeah, obviously, we're quite good at football. Kicking balls, job done. Social joins. What's up, host? What up, chat? Hello. Englishman in Canada. Love an emergency podcast with flashy lights. And what else have I got? Ah, Mr. Waffles is there. Oi, oi. I almost feel bad for Sheffield United. Almost. Pete Coulson's turned up. Krunal Patel is there. Good morning, gents. Good morning, Governor. BX is there. Let the good times roll. And Toby Fall is there. Another win, another empty stadium. Early fire drill. Yeah, half hour. Lovely.
15 minutes in.
Sexy Frank was watching a game with me. He's been watching some of his, going around his friend's house and watching Liverpool games. He says he's a Liverpool fan. It's not how it works, Franks. What was the first ever game you went to see? Arsenal v Leeds. I mean, we may well have lost 3-2, but that's the first game you saw, so you are officially an Arsenal fan, and I'm not having any of that nonsense trying to worm your way out saying you support other teams, because you bloody don't. Right, let's get into the game, shall we? I only made, because Frank was here talking, I only made bullet points of a few things. How about the lineup? So are you surprised at the lineup? Because looking at the... it's all changed. Has it changed? Nope. Playing Jorginho in the middle. Is he our good luck charm at the moment? Because whenever he starts, things go really well, don't they?
He's a guy that can, and he's shown it again this evening, he's a guy that can unlock teams that sit with a low block, and that's exactly what Sheffield United were going to do. I'm a little bit surprised that they didn't go five at the back from the very beginning. It took them 15 minutes to introduce that with an early substitution. I'm not surprised by the team that was played tonight. However, I think a lot of people are expecting like the likes of Eddie Nketiah to start, and that would just make me want to cry and not watch the game at all if Eddie starts. But overall, yeah, I'm happy, very happy with the lineup. Jorginho allowing Rice to play that auxiliary striker, and he showed once again that he can do the business doing that. And Havertz, just wow. He's really coming to his own now. You know, we'll talk about the goal and stuff, but the confidence that exuding from this man is palpable. It's palpable, and I'm all for it. I'm all for it, Danny.
It is a wonderful thing to behold, and this is I'm very surprised and also very happy that we have virtually seen nothing of Eddie. Didn't he come on as a sub in one of the last recent games? But now he is not getting a look in. So this is good. Hopefully Arteta making a point of you're shit if you don't get a start against Sheffield United when it's a game that has already been won before the ball is even kicked. Then you've got no future at the club. And even Eddie must see that and go, well, I'm going to be making arrangements for the summer because I don't want him at the club. Poor bloke. If people are new, I have backed Eddie for years because I used to do this thing called the scores on the doors. I talk about the youth team and the ladies team, but then people got bored of me doing it, so I stopped doing it. But it was I was always going on about Eddie. What a wonderful player he was, the goals he was scoring, the stuff he was doing for England. And I went off of that about 8 months ago, something like that. And finally, Arteta has seen the light and Eddie does no longer have a future at the club, which is good because we're going to get, how much are we going to get for him, do you reckon? 20, 30 million? I mean, he's got a game for England.
I was going to say 25 million. He's an English player. So who can, let's be honest, he could go to somewhere like, for example, let's say Solanke, who's been phenomenal this season, he makes a move to somewhere, maybe mid to high table. That's a swap, isn't it? Eddie for Solanke, something like that. Make some money off Solanke.
Yeah, I wouldn't want Solanke at the club. Don't rate him.
No. I think he's a good player, but I don't think he's at the top of the list. I've been talking about it all season, and once again, he's outperforming most people. Ollie Watkins. I think he looks brilliant. I've said this before. He's had another very good weekend. I would love to see where he makes a move and how much for it even as well.
Because he's going to be looking for the fabled last big move of his career.
100%. Mm-hmm. It'd be very interesting to see where he goes. In regards to Lagenberry's comment, seems bonkers to give Eddie a 100K week deal. I think it was another situation with regards to how Ozil treated the deal, his last deal for Arsenal, how Walcott treated his last deal for Arsenal. It was sort of keeping the football club at ransom. That's how it felt.
Sanchez.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The reason why Ozil got the deal is because Sanchez left and they didn't want to lose Ozil in the same window or in the same year. So they gave him a deal. Walcott was playing really well up top, playing as a striker. We gave him a contract and then he just didn't want to play football anymore. The same kind of situation happened with Eddie. We were very light in that area. Struggling, he performed fairly decent. To give him the number 14 shirt, I think it's just atrocious. But I'm very happy that he's not appearing on the Arsenal pitch right now, and hopefully we can get rid of him in the summer.
Yes, Pete Coulson says, "Are you feeling better tonight, Dan?" Yes, I am. If I was on, I'm on a new £1.2 million 5-year drug, experimental drug, and it makes people ill at both ends for the first couple of weeks, but no doubt it'll make me ill for 3 weeks because that's the kind of luck I have. But I feel a bit queasy, but I'm all right. So the show is going ahead. What else have we got in here? Englishman in Canada left England earlier today, Danny. I have a 6-hour connection wait, sat killing time in Minnesota Airport. Don't make me laugh too loud. Oh, I'll do my best not to. Canterbury Gooner is there. He's brought everybody some cheese. Evening, what a start to the week. a start indeed it was, which means we should get on with the bloody show. I had to scroll down to the bottom of my screen because, as usual, Twitter, cut and paste from Twitter isn't a cut and paste from Twitter. It takes out all the spacing and the tabbing because it's a knob. Right, second minute, Deke, almost scored. That was a sign of things to come, wasn't it?
Yep. Saka hits the underside of the woodwork. Really unlucky to that have not bounced on the inside of the line. But Jorginho once again showing what he can do by unlocking teams with that over the top ball or a ball through the middle. Really unlucky for Saka to not get a goal right there. I know he gets a couple of assists today. Was it a couple of assists? I'm pretty sure it's a couple of assists. He's very unlucky to not have got on the score sheet. And it was quite funny as well. I think the camera panned to him on the bench at about after 85 minutes, because obviously he came off at halftime and he didn't look a happy bunny. Let's put it that way. It's like he got told that Santa doesn't exist or something like that. craziness. But Saka really unlucky to not score in the first couple of minutes there, Danny.
Yeah, I've made notes of who did get assists. I would go for it as the game on, but the first one didn't go down as an assist. The second one didn't go down with an assist. Well, the first one was Rice assist and the second one was Saka assist. So I don't know why whoscored.com aren't acknowledging that. Then lots of decent play, more chances. And then the fourth minute, our first goal of the game by a certain Mr. Ødegaard with a lovely Rice assist.
It was. I was talking about it last time that Rice, I take it back that I didn't think Rice could play a number eight, and he's proving that he can do that. And he's coming across as a more of an auxiliary striker sometimes as well. And today he showed that by, I don't understand why he's not getting the assist. I thought it looked like a beautifully cut ball across towards Ødegaard, who calmly slots it past the keeper to make it 1-0 in the first 5 minutes. But Rice, wonderful stuff from him. But once again, as we say every single week now since the start of this year, the moment we score a goal in the first few minutes, goals galore is about to ensue. And that's exactly what we saw, Danny.
It is indeed. Crew says, when are we going to bin Cedric? I'm just looking at the thing. He has played 5 games this season, started 1, 4 a sub, a total of 64 in his career for Arsenal. Never really done much in any of them. Not a bad player. What's his contract? His contract ends at the end of this season, I think. He's free.
Don't worry about it, guys. Cedric's just coming on just to give minutes, to give a break for Ben White, who's just phenomenal, isn't he? So let's not worry too much about it. Cedric comes on and does the business. I'm not worried about it. Don't worry about it. He's not gonna be starting games in Champions League knockout games or anything, or in games where it's gonna be against Man City. We're winning 6-0 against Sheffield United. I really wouldn't worry about Cedric coming on for 20 minutes. It's not really a thing.
Richard Morris says, we were described as the Harlem Globetrotters on Sky. For the kids, ask your parents who they are. I was fascinated by the Harlem Globetrotters as a kid. Looking back now, nah. But it was amazing back then.
Yeah, sure, back then. But now, obviously, with social media, it shows a wide variety of people that can do those sorts of abilities. But they set the trend, didn't they, Harlem Globetrotters? But you're right, Richard, that was the... That is the first time I've heard that Arsenal being described as the Harlem Globetrotters, but what a performance that we put out. So I'm not surprised by these sorts of comments.
Good. Right. The next one is a small, wonderful attacking play, chance after chance. And then the 12th minute goal, own goal, Saka assist. He ran down the right, got past his man, just gave it a cheeky little poke into the area. And it was going to hit someone and go in, wasn't it? It was one of those goals where as soon as you saw there was half a dozen people stood there right on the line.
But it shouldn't have hit off anyone. There was no pressure on the Sheffield United player who took the own goal in. There was no pressure from any Arsenal player on him for that to go in off his leg, off the back of his heel. Saka was having a great game early doors already. I found it really weird that Austin Trusty was being trusted. What I did there, Danny. Mm-hmm. Trusted to defend Bukayo Saka. He was getting ripped to shreds, and he was getting ripped to shreds within the first 10 minutes multiple times. It was only a matter of time that Saka got the better of him, made it to the byline, and cut it across the box. And it just comes off the back of a heel of a Sheffield United. I was going to say Burnley player. They're all these rubbish football clubs who wear this claret. They're all
much of a muchness.
Yes, much of exactly. Well said. But yeah, there was no pressure on the Sheffield United player, but it still managed to come off him to make it 2-0.
Like Richard says, he tried his luck. True. Pete asks a question. Oh, save that for after, Pete, if you don't mind. Yeah, that little bit of subliminal advertising there for Pepsi Max. I like the look of the new cans. Very old.
Oh, is that the new can,
retro.
Is it?
Yeah, I like
well, they're
it.
Well, they're doing a lot, apparently, at the moment to try and topple Coca-Cola, aren't
Why
they?
Bother?
I don't know.
People are one or the other. Oh, I hate Coke. Just has a nasty taste to it. Pepsi Max, the king of fizzy drinks. Well, the king of fizzy drinks is orange fizzy Lucozade. That's the king. I've emailed them every 6 months. I email Lucozade and go, how comes you have got all the other flavors out, but you haven't got Lucozade Zero Orange? What are you doing? Oh, fucking pricks.
They even respond.
Of course they respond. They know it's me. They do. Right, I say, why don't you do it? How can you have all them shitty, like the pink grapefruit and the... Oh, this other bollocks. You only should only do two flavors. It should be the one that makes you better and the orange one and nothing else.
I'm a bulldog root beer or an A&W root beer.
You're an animal. Stefan says Saka did anything he wanted in the first half. He did. Yep. I'm surprised he didn't try and moonwalk a ball in. Jacqueline says, notice how I did that. Jacqueline. I hope that's how you say your name.
Probably that not how he says it.
Well, it's French sounding, isn't it? Look at your surname, Tago. Jacqueline, Phoenix.
Guys, anybody that joins this podcast, don't expect Danny to try and get your name correctly.
I'm going with Jacqueline. Oh, I've messed it up now. I'm smiling. That kit now is on the Killer Bee kit. We swarm around teams like killer bees looking to destroy our opponents.
Hornets.
Exactly.
Hornets. Hornets.
We're buzzy and angry, and people better watch out.
Yes, agreed. I like that analogy, though.
Langenberry says, Richard says, hit the like button, people. Yep. Phil's going to get himself a timeout if he is disrespectful about Pepsi Max again. Pepsi Max is shit. Coke rules. No. Phil then says, root beer. Sick.
Time him out.
Lame. Disgusting. Colin Addy says, wasps. BX says the kit is still terrible.
I know, but we're dominating in it.
And lots of numbers. He's on the Pepsi Max train even. I don't fucking know. Rudy, this was so good. I think he means the football, not the show. Yeah. So where are we up to now?
We're coming up to the Martinelli. Yeah,
goal for Martinelli with another brilliant game from Kiwior.
Different
things are going. Oh, I thought it was Toby Anastas. Who's the TV presenter called Tony with a surname like that? Toby?
No idea. Absolutely no idea. You're not going to get anything out of me with that one.
We've got new people watching. We've got Cal Riddell. How underrated is Ben White? Benny Blanco to his mates. Anastasi.
Nice. That
could well be right.
That's probably right.
Sixy football. He's a very sixy. Hamilton AFC. That's another name I've not seen before. Hello, Hamilton.
Hello.
I'm going to dream tonight because party is back. Good on Luke Howard, who he's been here for years. I know I sound like a spoiled brat, but the subs ruined the game. Could have scored 7 or 8.
I got a little bit annoyed when Saka got subbed.
Breaking news, perfectly pronounced.
Yeah, well, you know, that's not too bad. We haven't heard back from the other one.
I've been podcasting for 12 years. That's the first name I've ever got completely correct when it's not
well
even
played.
English.
Well played.
Cheers, Tony. Right, you're going to say the Martinelli goal. And
Martinelli goal. You'll
be playing this well if things weren't going so swimmingly for us.
I don't think we would be seeing Kiwior being deployed in the way that he has been if we haven't been so dominant. Lovely counter-attack from the Arsenal, Martinelli. We're making it look easy at this point. What made me laugh is that Sheffield United instantly makes a substitution and goes to 5 at the back. That's like 15 minutes too late, Danny, really, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, they made a sub on 17 minutes.
Absolutely crazy.
Norwood was glad to come off.
Yeah. Yes, probably.
He went home, went to bed. As far as he's concerned, it finished 3-0.
Yes. I tell you what, we started the game really strong. We're 15 minutes in, we're already 3-0 up. We're looking so comfortable, Danny, but it's been comfortable all this year since the winter break. I had no worries about this game, zero worries. I think the only thing that would annoy me if we conceded a goal, but we didn't do that. We kept the clean sheet, which makes it even sweeter. We didn't even, did Sheffield United even get a shot on target? I don't even think they got a shot on target, Danny.
Have a little looky poo. They had four shots, and of that four shots, zero on target. We had 10
zero on target. There we go. It was an incredible performance from the Arsenal. You know, being 3-0 up in 15 minutes is just a fantastic performance from the team. And we're just flying so high with confidence right now. So high.
I wonder how many touches. Raya had 21 touches of the ball. Well, passes, touches. I wonder if a goalkeeper throws the ball, that counts as a pass, doesn't it?
Yes.
Of course it does. Yeah.
Gotta be.
Raya had 21 touches. Their goalkeeper only had 11. Wow. And six of them were picking the ball. No, that doesn't count.
Yes, exactly. Then, that's completely right.
And look, I mean, years ago, I was talking about Saliba when he was at Saint-Étienne, and then when he was at Nice, and when he was at, who was the other club he played for in France? Oh, didn't he go back to Saint-Étienne? I think he did. I was saying regularly, yep, game after game, him and his centre-back pairing, there was three of them, they were all getting 100 touches a game. Imagine if we have a centre back at that time, we had Mustafi and all those others, and they were getting 50, 60 touches a game, and they were all shit. Tonight, Saliba, 169 successful passes. 169. Gabriel in at the centre-back, 139 successful passes. Saka only got 21. Get him out. Total passes, 174 for Saliba, of which 169 were accurate. Played him to death. They didn't stand a chance, did they?
He's a Rolls Royce, isn't he? That's what we talk. That's what we hear all the time. Rolls Royce performances from this man. It's incredible. It's an incredible performance. The fact that we've had him for so many years, and he came into the side last season and just fitted in instantly, scoring a goal on his debut. Was it his debut or the second game? I can't remember. Someone will correct me. He scored within a couple of games of his Arsenal career, with a sort of like a lofted volley. It was really nice. But yeah, I love Saliba. I love William Saliba. The guy is just oozes class. I've never been worried when the ball is being played when we've got Gabriel and Saliba. They have to be the best centre back partnership we've had since the Invincibles, right, Danny? They've got to be.
Oh, I mean, some could argue that the Invincibles weren't even on great.
Yeah, see, this is what I mean. Oh. I was just being polite. Yeah. But yeah, I think this is probably one of the best centre-back partnerships Arsenal has seen,
I think,
in my lifetime anyway.
Our best would probably be under George Graham, the season we conceded 19 goals. Second best, maybe 98. No, second best would be 02, then 98, then Invincible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is definitely up and amongst our best five ever.
We're only really, you know, a few seasons in of really solidifying this Arsenal team the way that Arteta wants to play it. You know, we're going to see a striker signing in the summer. That's guaranteed. And this is going to be one of the main signings that Arteta is going to want to be able to really round off the side that he wants to create here. So I'm really only counting it from there, because the state of Arsenal, guys, I really think people forget the state that Arsenal were in back in end of 2019. When Arteta joined the club just before the world went tits up, Arsenal were lost. They were completely lost.
What word you're going to use to describe?
I don't know. I'm trying to be as polite as possible here. We were lost. We looked absolutely dejected. I've never seen Arsenal look so bad. And Arteta's had to sort of structure everything based around solidifying things from the back and moving forward. And we're really seeing that now. And we're not even in our final form, Danny. We're not even in our final form.
Let's go and have a look at the chat. Clock end, 79. All right, guys. Great to spank Sheffield United. Slags, Red Army. That, you said West Ham Slags in one of the, when we played West Ham. And I did that as a
short.
I did it as a short. And on YouTube, it got, where is it? The West Ham Slags one. It was on this one. It got Zinchenko, not that one. Where was it? Dear, oh dear, I can't find it. Oh, no, that's not it. Oh, it was reading Twitter's comments. 421 views on YouTube shorts.
Oh, yeah.
And then over 1,000, I think it was about, no, it's about 300 on Facebook as well, on the Facebook shorts or whatever the hell they call it. A few comments from the chat. Rudy, is there some comments? Jamie Carragher, quote, "It was a great performance from Arsenal and you today, Martin Ødegaard. I just did not see the camera on the pitch." I think he's trying to take the piss there, Carragher, if he said that. I mean, Rudy doesn't bowl as any dodgy ones anymore. And Martin Ødegaard, "I knew that was coming," laughing. "I was just too scared to do it today." Well, there was a reason why he did it, because matey boy cameraman bloke is retiring. AI Havertz was called a waste of money and the worst signing of the summer. He also has more league goal contributions this season than Bernardo Silva, Bruno Fernandes, James Rodriguez. What? James Maddison. Fuck me, where did that James Rodriguez come from? It's not even there. He doesn't even play football anywhere. He's not playing this. I think he's in Brazil. Ramos, Hoyland, Marcus Rashford, and Luis Diaz. Don't you start numbers, boy. Great subby music gives us some hearts.
Just saw James and went, "Ahmed."
Yeah, I'm obsessed. That's because in one of our WhatsApp groups, you've got the people from Goonosphere, and there's James, Ralph Stokes is in there, and Jock always calls him James.
Right.
Okay. Clock M says, "All right, no, we did that one." BX says, "They're the best Prem pairing since Vidic and Rio." Richard says, "Yes, Phil Postecoglou won Fun Football Award, still not a trophy." I mean, that's bullshit.
You guys are just testing Danny now at this point.
They're bullying me.
They are. Stop bullying him.
Great subby music says, "Arteta had to bring Trossard in Martinelli's number and Jesus in Saka's number immediately after 5-0 result." Is it, yeah, true. Pete says, "Wish we were playing City this weekend. We always go up there with key players out after bad results." What else have we got there? Phil says, "Saliba and Gabby better than Adams and whoever may be." No, how dare you. Adams would be... but I doubt Adams would be suiting this. Yeah, he'd get sent off all the time if you played nowadays. Yes. Rudy says, "Arsenal have now scored as many away Premier League goals in 18 in 24 games as Man United have all season, 18 in 14 games." Now, that's a stat. Ah, Travis Orr, he's changed his name, made it easy for me. Cheers. Gutted we didn't win 10 or 11 nil. Arteta out. Super has turned up. Hello, hello. Pete Coulson, "Arteta on Sky. Saka was feeling sick and Martinelli took a knock but looked okay."
He's fine. Martinelli's fine. He's just got a cut. He's all right. He'll be fine.
Sir Alan Bastard, MP. "Hello, lads. I was only in Sheffield, but, you know, still got to go and win. Great win." It was only Sheffield. I don't know where I was only in.
You can so only...
My brain scans everything and then adds words in that aren't there. Phil said, "Heard from a mate, Martinelli has a cut. Good." And Super says, "Saving Smith Rowe for a start on Saturday." Is it Brentford?
Yes.
Ramsdale's going to get a game. Lovely.
Oh, yeah, right. That's true. Yes, Ramsdale will be getting... Wait, have we not solidified the signing of Raya on a full?
I don't think so.
Because we were supposed to do it in the January transfer window, putting £27 million down for him. Have we still not done that and he's still officially on loan?
I've put my ear thing in too much and it's made my ear pop.
Oh, okay. Does anybody know, guys? Does anybody know if we've actually fully confirmed the deal with Raya or is he still on loan? Because that's quite interesting. It's quite interesting because I thought he would have been a permanent deal by now.
David Raya still says $3 million loan fee. If I scroll down to players in, that's new contracts. Players in, nope, still only got the first three.
That's very still interesting. I wonder what's going on there. Maybe, I don't know. Hopefully we sign him.
Maybe they tried to haggle and said, "Look, it's only a half season loan now. Can we have him for a little bit less?" They went, "No. No, you've paid a full season loan and then you'll pay extra at the end of the season and go away." Talk about going away. 24th minute.
Yep.
Another goal.
It was Havertz. I have been waiting to see this Kai Havertz since Bayer Leverkusen. You know, I've been saying it all season and been saying it on the podcast that Kai Havertz, all he needs is a boost of confidence, a run of games to really, you know, get himself back into it, playing in a style of football that works with him. And that's exactly what we're seeing. I don't think I've ever seen a more confident finish from Kai Havertz all season. I think this is the goal that's going to really start to launch him forward. And I tell you what, he was playing very well with Gabriel Jesus later on in the game as well. I personally thought that was, I know Ødegaard's got man of the match, but I think Havertz had a really good shout for man of the match, Danny.
Yeah, looking at the ratings, Raya got a 6.6, didn't do anything. Kvyat 8, Gabriel 7.4, Saliba 7.3, White 7.9 and a goal, Ødegaard 8.8 and a goal, Jorginho 7.5, Rice 8.8 and a goal, and Ødegaard got man of the match, didn't he?
Ødegaard got man of the match.
Martinelli 8.8 goal assist, Havertz 9.3 goal assist, and Saka 8 and an assist. So you're right, it should have gone goal, give him a 9.3.
Yeah, I thought Havertz was just unreal tonight, unbelievable. His hold up play, his intuition with the flicks and the tricks and everything in between, his cutback play was incredible. He's interlinking. Everything was just on point. Havertz is just an unbelievable signing. And I'm so glad that he's turned out to be the signing that he is. I remember when we first signed Ødegaard, Danny, when we got him on loan, and then there was talk about us getting him on a permanent from Real Madrid. There were some Arsenal fans not rating the deal and talking about wanting to sign James Maddison or someone like that from Leicester. And I was like, oh, Ødegaard's the man. He's going to be absolutely phenomenal for us. And he's turned into one of our best players, right? And I'm the exact same with Havertz. I love the fact that we've signed him. It came out of nowhere, proper curveball in the summer. And I'm so happy it's working out for him. So happy. He looks so good, Danny.
Glad that earlier in the season when we were talking about it, when he was shit, and I said, well, I trust Arteta to have bought him for a reason, and exactly, I trust it's going to turn out all right. But exactly, I didn't get on the let's crucify Havertz right away, like some other podcasters did. Shout!
This is easy.
Ones that were shouting and screaming around Christmas when we lost all those games and we had one win in six. Some people that I'm friends with on their podcast. That's it. He's got to go. Had enough. 7 wins in a row now.
Do you know what, Danny? It frustrates me when people like that talk like that, because all it tells me is that they've not really got going on much else going on in their life, that they have to come up with sort of problems. It's like self-sabotaging problems out of nothing. It's like, mate, we're playing great football considering we've introduced new players into a brand new system, you know, and we have to figure out the DNA. We have to get everything working, and we've got it working. Just enjoy the football. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
Some people do not want to. As Mrs. Deke there, has she got time to knock up a little bit of, where is it? A little bit of humble pie for you? I mean, Joaquin has got back to us. What does he say, Deke? What does he say?
I'm not wearing my glasses, Danny. Hold on.
Can't quite make it out. What does he say? My mate, Joaquin.
Get out, Danny. I can't make it out.
He's probably right.
I'm probably tired, if I'm honest. I'm probably really tired.
And
how much did you pay him?
I've said for years that Joaquin is one of my favourite people. I got his name right, and he loves a nice cold Pepsi Max. So mine's straight out of the fridge. So, you know,
goodness. How long has it taken him to respond to
two
this?
In a night? I've got two right in a night. Bloody hell. Some quotes from Rudy. Mikel Arteta, following the 6-0 Arsenal annihilation of Sheffield United tonight, quote, "We have to keep doing what we are doing. Tonight we celebrate, but tomorrow we focus on Brentford. We have to beat them now, and that is what is the most important thing."
Love it.
On
humble.
Saka, he says, Saka and Martinelli, he was feeling a bit sick, probably because of the scoreline. As we have Fabio, who needed to be given minutes, we had a little issue with Gabby Martinelli. He had a little, I won't tell you what word I thought that said, a little cut on his foot. We need to see how it is. There's something wrong with my brain,
Get
people.
Your mind out of the gutter, Danny.
When I scan a sentence, I don't go left to right. I skip a few, then go backwards, and then I miss bits out and add bits in.
I wonder if anybody clocked onto what you thought.
Yeah. Our very own Stan the Man. Good afternoon, you beautiful people. He's got a spanner by his name. That doesn't mean he's a spanner. That means he's in charge. Be nice to him. Otherwise, he'll put you on the naughty steps. So, Alan Bastard, MP, why was Havertz not good at Chelsea? Why is anybody not good at Chelsea? Maybe Arteta's style suits him better.
Don't use anyone correctly, guys. I think you forgot that Kevin De Bruyne played at Chelsea. Didn't Salah play at Chelsea?
Did?
As well?
Guys, in Basel, and then flogged him off to Fiorentina and Roma, I think.
Yes, guys, these...
And De Bruyne.
Yeah, well, look at Man United and with Di Maria and stuff like this. There's loads of teams that buy players and use them incorrectly, and Havertz is another.
Rudy with a stat. Saliba had more passes, 169, than the entire Sheffield United team combined, 142.
They looked at the Sheffield United, man. Christ.
Stan says Havertz is doing better than he was, but still far from where he needs to be. One swallow doesn't make a summer. You come on and say that to Deke. Come on, Stan. You come on and say that to Deke. He'll throttle you virally. I don't even know if that's possible.
We are. Havertz is playing phenomenal football right now. Yeah, it's taken him a while to get going, but who doesn't? With the confidence that the lacking of confidence that he got or didn't have actually for playing for Chelsea for a number of years. I think he's doing really well. I think he's done really well to bed into the team like he has. Now we're seeing the fruits of the labour with the performances that he's putting out week in, week out since the winter break.
Super says, Chelsea, the biggest club in London, in brackets. Yeah. Richard says, sorry, it's Kevin De Bruyne, as in his name in English should be Kevin Brown. Doesn't sound as exotic.
No, that doesn't.
And
a lot of colours.
Lagenberry says Arsenal 31 goals in 7 games. Man United 37 goals all season. Lovely. Hopefully, new people are going to subscribe to the podcast because we've had 10 subscribers in the last 3 months and we had 30 unsubscribe.
Oh,
it's more judgment of them than us. Right. Yes. The final goal in the 24th minute. Did you do the Havertz goal in the 24th minute? Because
the cleanest. We can wax lyrical about Havertz again. That's fine, Danny. So Havertz again scores with a beautiful strike, confidence exuding from the man himself. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of that as the season progresses.
And then 38th minute, goal number 5.
Yes, goal number 5. I guess we can move off from the Havertz goal now. It's fine. Saka to Rice. Just looking too easy. Once again, Saka makes it to the byline and Rice buries it underneath the keeper. Rice getting involved once again, showing the ability, playing that number 8 role, playing as a sort of auxiliary striker a lot of the time, using the ability of his height and the runs that he makes, those last minute runs, kind of reminds me of Aaron Ramsey. We've seen it numerous times. Makes it 4-0. Is it 4-0? No, it's 5-0. Sorry, lost count. Me with numbers, guys. 5-0. 5-0. I couldn't believe it. First half, 5-0. And I'm thinking, I predicted 7-0. It's going to happen, boys. It's going to happen.
I think it's interesting the way that Arteta has realised something in the team has clicked. Now, I think he wasn't sure if it was Havertz, Trossard, or combination of both. And I think tonight, by starting Havertz and leaving Trossard as a sub, he's gone, I have deconstructed this winning run, and it is Havertz that is the key, not necessarily Trossard. Although Trossard has helped, Havertz is the one. He is the Colonel Sanders special sauce, special powder.
He's the skeleton key, Danny, isn't he? He's the skeleton key. He's unlocking everything.
That one.
He's really... He's really showing he's got a lot of ability to be able to be the utility man up top. I'm so happy to see him playing so well and everyone talking about it. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. And we're going to see this now. He's going to soak all this up and he's going to finish the season so strong. So strong.
Ah, there we go. BX has helped me out. He's the McDonald's special Szechuan sauce.
Yes.
I'm going for a hat trick of pronunciation.
Rick and Morty did an episode about that sauce.
Who did?
Rick and Morty. They did an entire episode about the Szechuan sauce, about wanting it to come back. When the Mulan Disney film came out.
Oh, yeah.
McDonald's did the Szechuan sauce alongside it, like a collaboration. And then Rick and Morty did an episode about bringing it back because they wanted to bring it back. and McDonald's brought it back for a bit because of the Rick and Morty episode.
Shane 13 says, I want to start beating people in the teams in the tunnel, like in the Wenger days, manager taking off players in the first half. Love it. And Phil, oh, I haven't pre-read this. I've got my fingers crossed. Hopefully it's good. You defo look like you lost weight, Danny. Get a tan, we'll be calling you The Rock. Yeah, it's members of my family are also on a diet, but they can't do the carnivore diet. I said, look at this. Look here. You can't see. Oh, for fuck's sake, I pulled it out of my fucking ear, you fat fingered twat. Underneath my arm here, you can pinch skin now. And I said to him yesterday, I said, look, I'm not telling you who these people are. I said, look, that's what happens. 2 months of a mainly meat diet, no carbs, no sugar, no nice things. And this is what happens. Not interested. Not interested. Can't do that. I can't do that. Well, if you want results, you've got to take the medicine, the meat medicine. Sounds like a porn I once watched. Anyway, moving on from there. Second half, Saka off, Vieira on. We now know why. Oh, Pepsi Max. First half passes, 4-5-6 completed, 4-2-3. 16 shots, 7 on target. Now, looking at that, you're saying your prediction of 7-0 might not be enough for the second half. I'm saying to Sexy Frank, going through Bonacord, 36-0, Australia 42-0, Arsenal Loughborough 12-0. We could break the record in the Premier League of no one's ever done double digits, and then it all kind of whimpered out, didn't it? But players, we saw players we haven't seen since, I don't know, the 1960s, managed to make a comeback, didn't they?
So they did. Fabio Vieira.
Your thoughts as the second half began with Vieira coming on, did you think it would be, if I'd have told you there's only one goal to come, would you have booked me in to see a vet?
Do you know what? Hindsight's a tricky mistress, but Fabio Vieira is really rusty. We knew that because Arsenal have established such a grand lead in such a short period of time, that we were going to see a lot of changes, including Partey was on the bench, Gabriel Jesus, we were going to see a lot of these. So we knew that the consistency and the fluidity that this recent Arsenal side has built over the weeks, over the months even, was going to start to see a little bit of a wobble. And the fact that Fabio Vieira was introduced into the side so early, at the very start of the second half, we didn't even see Saka be trotted back out due to him apparently feeling unwell. I'll tell you what, he didn't look very happy on the bench, that's for sure. But because
really?
Of that...
I saw him sitting on the bench. I thought he just looked cold.
Maybe he's just cold. Yes, fair enough. But, you know, it was, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't bite your hand off. I was not expecting another 5 goals, Danny, that's for sure. I was expecting at least 7-0. Obviously, I'm disappointed. Jesus Christ, the first world problems, eh, Danny? I've got 53 minutes here. Havertz is class, down on the right-hand side, managing to unleash Fabio Vieira, who puts a really pretty nice ball in for Martinelli, who he's not able to get contact with it correctly, and it goes wayward, and Sheffield United are able to clear. So from that moment, I was like, okay, we've lost that kind of, because that would have been Saka, wouldn't it, Danny? That would have been Saka off on the run, and Fabio Vieira putting the ball in instead of Saka, I think, changed things a little bit. So who knows? But yeah, you know, second half we're starting, and Saka's been brought off. I don't think we've seen that in years, right? Saka coming off at halftime. I don't think we've seen that.
I don't think he's ever come off at halftime. He hasn't. He's too young. He probably didn't even know you could make substitutions at halftime.
That's true. That's probably correct. He had no idea that that was even a function.
We've actually, I did a preview show for the Sheffield United podcast called Red Half of Sheffield. He hasn't added me in any tweets, and I haven't looked at the podcast account to see if he added me in any, so I couldn't retweet it. But Chad, he's an American. He supports Sheffield United because he likes a challenge, and he is home. And as he said, he will come and join us after we've gone through the final minutes of the game. He's going to come and join us for at the end of the podcast. We're going to have a little chat about him. We can all console him and say it's not too late to pick another team. So he's just confirmed that he will be able to make the end of the show. He's a lovely man.
Fantastic stuff. What play to the guy?
Sir Alan Bastard, regarding the diet, I'm doing 10,000 steps a day plus diet, so salt or sugar, plenty of water daily. Yeah, I normally in a day I'll drink half a litre of liquid. Now I'll have a can of Monster, which is half a litre, a bottle of water with some electrolytes in, a couple of cans of Pepsi, There you go. 2 litres a day. Bosh. Yeah, but no sugar, no carbs. And then you'll do well. Rudy says, Arteta on Tommy Ashu. He's very close. He's doing something on the grass already. Sounds like a dog, doesn't it? He's doing something on the grass, Morey. Dirty bastard. Tommy Ashu, no.
Get the bags. Get the bags. Get the poop bags.
Oh, no. It's fucking wet one. Get the hoofer out. BX is joining in with Stan's conspiracy theory that Pavio Vieira is actually Teabag. Teabag looked very lively. He did. Super says, I went low carb and lost £35. Or each packet of meat cost me £2.50 and I have 4 a day. Phil says, I have put a fiver on Partey going off injured at EVS. What's EVS? Do you mean Brentford? I don't know what he's on about.
I don't know.
Melvin is there, who was on midweek. He was feeling sick, said Arteta. Indeed. Clock end. Erdegaard. Rice must be worth 400 million. Just brilliant. Their prime time still to come. I think you might have made that up. Evans. What?
Evans. I have no idea. No idea. No idea, Melvin. No idea.
No, that's what Phil said. They're confusing. I'm as if I don't have enough trouble keeping track of what's going on at the best of times. So, should we move up to the goal in the 57th minute? Or have you got anything before that?
No, I've got nothing beyond. I've got nothing before 53. Just talking about that Havertz moment again. I will say this, Danny. This is controversial. This is controversial. You know me, Danny, with controversial opinions.
Steady on, everyone.
I am sick. And I know it's a bit of like an olden tradition and it's all a bit of banter and stuff, but I am so bored of hearing Arsenal fans in the stadium constantly going, the moment a player like Saliba or Gabriel Rice or something like that, they're on they're like 30, 40 yards outside the box and they're like, shoot. I'm bored. I'm so bored of hearing shoot. It always comes from a moment where it looks like it's a half hour. We're 5-0 up, right? And we play a certain way where we're constantly finding the perfect pass and the perfect through ball. There was even moments tonight where Arsenal were desperately trying to score goal of the season. I would rather see moments like that than a wild 30, 40-yard shot that goes balloons over the bar that we're blatantly going to see. I know it's kind of like an olden tradition to constantly say shoot, but it just gets a bit boring the moment the ball is in possession and everyone goes, shoot. I don't know. Maybe it's only me. I'm just bored of hearing the word being shouted, shoot. I'm bored of it. Danny. I don't know how you feel about it. I'm just a bit bored of it.
I don't care. It just reminds me of the old John Jensen days. And he shot and he scored. It's 1-1 at the moment. Can't argue. Apparently, EVS means evens. Well, I'm not a Muppet who wastes my money on betting because I would never have known.
Oh, yeah, we don't. But that's probably why neither of us know what you meant because we don't bet. I don't bet.
Such thing as a broke bookie. You never see a bookie having to sell the cars, having to sell the house, having his wife and kids leave him because spunked all the money.
Yep.
That's only the punters who lose.
That's it.
So, where were we up to?
I've got 57 minutes here. Arsenal trying to score goal of the season with interlinking play, which looked phenomenal. And then 58 minutes, Danny. 58 minutes. Oh, we scored a cheeky little goal.
You have to tell me about that.
We did. Yeah, it's fine. It all starts from Jorginho over the top. Havertz controlling the ball beautifully. And then passing it into the path of Ben White, who rifles the shot with his weak foot, puts it into the back of the net to make it 6-0.
Yes, and then I thought, here we go. The commentators were saying our best ever away win was the 3rd of November 1993, UEFA Cup, standard Liège 0, Arsenal 7. Kevin Campbell scored a couple, Alan Smith got one. I did look at the rest and can't remember. And then had some more chances. Things seemed to be slowing down a little bit, which I was surprised at. 63rd minute, Martinelli being helped off with a cut leg, slightly dramatic. So I'd imagine it was the thing that caused the cut leg that he needed helping off with.
It was a foul from Sheffield United player. The ref didn't even notice it. Couldn't believe it. I was like, the ref is... The ref, listen, we didn't talk about the ref all day, meaning the ref did all right. But moments like that where players are getting physically hurt by another player needs to be looked at. The guy's got a massive cut on his ankle.
I said that to Frank. I said, he went, 5-0. He left at half time. I said, yeah, second half's going to be worrying because these fans will be, the only thing they got to cheer for now is when one of their players injures one of our players.
Yes,
the only
completely
thing
correct.
Got to pay for. And
that's exactly what happened. But that's exactly what happened, Danny. Martinelli hobbles off, 65th minute. Partey, Jesus and Cedric come on for Jorginho, Martinelli and White. That would have been interesting to see who would have come off for Jesus if Martinelli had not got injured. Maybe we did still see that substitution. But
Jesus could have scored a couple of goals. He was definitely up for it, doing a few tricks and taps and drags. And
he was combining really well with the man of the night. Kai Havertz
was
running really well, which begs the question: will we see Jesus and Havertz, that linkage play, a little bit more this season?
I think we'll see Jesus on the wing. His time up front is done.
Yes, I completely agree with that. Danny, I've said this numerous times. I laugh at people who want to sign an auxiliary striker, winger style of player, as opposed to an out and out striker. We've got Jesus can play out in the wings, guys. Use your noggin. We need to sign a striker because we've only got Eddie as backup. And that makes me want to go and cry my eyes out all night. And I don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see that, especially the crying aspect, not the Eddie bit. That's pretty bad.
Clock end 79. Three more wins probably guarantees Champions League football for next season. And above the Spurs, our first target. Yep. That's the first two things we need to make sure. Yep. Phil says he won £164 on a £4 Van Dijk to score the winner in a cup final last week. Well, I hope that means you're never going to bet again because you're up. He said, paid for my book that I am having. You're having a book published.
Very nice.
Well,
are you going to need to tell us a little bit more about that, Phil?
Yeah, what's it about? We'll plug it for you if you want. Give us the links.
Sounds good.
We can all go and put fake reviews on Amazon and give it 5 stars and say it's one of the best books I've ever read. It's not the first time I've done that for people who have done books that I know that have I've not read the book. I own the book, just not read the book. I love the Sheffield fans. Olaying their own fans. Right. Made some substitutions. Trossard on for Rice. Next thing I've got is 81st minute. Jesus should have scored. Ran at the defence, zigzagged, this and that, I think. Had a layoff from somebody and then should have put it top right corner. And the goalkeeper decided for the first time in the game to actually make a save and ruin what could have been a beautiful goal for Jesus on his comeback. And it's not even Easter.
So I've got 76 minutes, Danny. Jesus should have taken a shot instead of trying to cut the ball back into the box. He should have taken a shot. Odegaard to Kivior. Odegaard put the ball over 78 minutes. Kivior with a poor header. He was completely unmarked. Yep. Should have done better with the effort. Partey over the top. That was with Jesus cut, but couldn't quite get the ball. And that's the 82 minutes. Unlucky for Jesus not to have scored.
Are you concerned that with the return of Vieira, Partey, Jesus, that they are going to be wanting time, or Arteta may feel pressurized to give them first team players? Because they are. When they signed their contracts, they beginning of the season, they were all starting 11 first team players. Is he going to, Arteta going to feel pressure to start those in games and maybe disrupt the form we've got from the players that have been starting these games? Because I hope he doesn't.
If there's a manager that I can bet on that doesn't buckle under pressure about keeping personalities on a bench as opposed to giving them performances just because, I want to be a nice bloke, I think Arteta's my man. I'm not worried about him bowing down to peer pressure and putting players into positions out, knocking out flow, because I think today showed exactly why you stick with the team when you can. The first half was absolutely phenomenal. We made changes in the second half, and yes, we were in cruise control and there was no real pressure from Sheffield United, but we came off the boil and that was obvious. It was needed, however, because we needed to get game time minutes into the legs of the likes of Partey, Jesus, Fabio Vieira, because it's going to be a long slog towards the end of the season, guys. We've still got Champions League football to contend with as well. So, but as I say that, I don't think Arteta is going to be the one that's going to be making changes to the side with the form that's been created, with the team as spoken, I think we're going to see the exact same lineup, and I'm hoping that's the case. I've got faith in Arteta to be playing the exact same lineup that he's played tonight at the start of the game against Brentford. Very confident.
Good, and I hope so. Phil says, oh, fuck's sake. A poetry book. I've been writing poetry lyrics since I was a teenager, even seeing my songs played live back in the day. Even though I hate poetry, Phil, because you are special to us, if you want anything promoting, retweeting, sharing during the pod,
hell yeah,
let
hell
us know.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Personally, I fucking hate poetry. My brother used to write a lot of poetry. The soppy fucker.
And I'll tweet it all out on my Twitter, Danny, but I'm shadow banned, so it doesn't really matter.
Logan, why do I keep someone say Loganberry? What is Loganberry from Skyrim or something?
Loganberry is a real fruit.
Is it?
Pretty sure Loganberry.
Don't tell me Skyrim isn't real. I'm not having that. So I was right. Both right. It says
it's a real plant. It's like a raspberry. It's like a raspberry.
Made up. It's like Loch Ness Nessie. Surprised not to see ESR coming on. Who was on the bench that didn't come on? I hear nobody ask. Right. Yes, Ramsdale didn't come on. Rowe didn't. Yes. Smith Rowe, Nelson, and Eddie. Good. Well,
good.
It's because they're all English. Fuck them.
I'm not worried about ESR coming on or whatever. You know, Jesus needed to get the game time. Partey needed to come on. Trossard comes on to solidify things a little bit more. I'm not worried about it. It's fine.
Good. It's been 11 minutes. Right, I think that's the end of the notes, isn't it? I've sent the link to Chad so he can come and join us and we can all poke fun at him from being a Sheffield United fan. Anything else to say before the final whistle blew?
No. I'm just surprised that Havertz wasn't given man of the match. Because I know a lot of people go, oh, well, you know, if... He got a goal and an assist and everything, but there are other players that performed very, very well as well. But I think Havertz should have probably got man of the match tonight. I don't know about you, Dan. That's the only thing I've got really to say. Yeah. I'm just enjoying Havertz at the moment. The guy looks so full of confidence, and it's starting to show. So I'm
just happy that there was a debate over who should get man of the match, which means we had lots of players all quite deserving. What water are you drinking there? Where's it from?
Oh, it's Kirkland water, so it's Costco.
Oh, my one is Aquapura, which I think is from Tesco, but it was £2.50 for 8 half-litre bottles. I mean, it's like water grows on trees. It's amazing.
These, you get 40 bottles
for
£7.
Bloody hell, I need to go to Costco. George has got a card.
40 bottles for £7.
I don't like when we go and I have to go in the van. I wheel in the back of the van, then they pile all the shopping around me. And in case of emergency, I'm never getting out of that van because there's no one in there. It's just bottles and bottles of water and cat food. Oh, fuck it. Just leave him. He's had a good run.
My go-to's at Costco. My go-to's water, parchment paper, cat litter, and toilet paper.
Richard says Logan is a place in the Highlands. Oh, Lagan, not Logan. Logan. Logan Roy Jam. Phil says, thanks, Danny R. I would love to see you read one out loud on the show. That would be up for you, Phil. I will. And I fucking hate poetry. Sire says ESR going in the summer. Don't bring us down. Don't do that. Miss Molina is here. Hello, Danny. Handeek. Hello.
Hello.
Nice hat. I have got a hat like that. I have got many hats. Fuck and Sean, my daughter, will not let me wear them. Oh, there's Chad, the Sheffield United fan. Hello, lads. Best Arsenal team for 20 years. I've sent you the link on... I hope that's him. Oh, Che Boy. No, that's not him. It's Chad. See, immediately I see Chad and I had a D on. It's nothing to do with him. I was thinking, Chad doesn't look like he was born in 72. So there's another new person on YouTube. Hello, Che Boy 72. Fine year to be born. Lackenberry says water is cheap out of the tap.
So nope.
Fluff.
Nope. It's
full of.
I'm not drinking that.
What's that shit that women have? Testosterone. No. Estrogen.
Estrogen. There's fluoride. You can smell it in the water. Chlorine.
Disgusting. Che Boy, I know I'm late, but cat litter chat 6-0. We're lit. And fucking hell. Ray Anderson is there. No doubt it's a lovely, warm, hot day where he is there. And Che Boy says, no, I'm an Arsenal fan. I know, I was getting... your first three letters of your name, Che Boy, is C-H-A. And talking of C-H-A, we have Chad here, whose first three letters of his name is C-H-A, which is what confused me. Chad, we are live on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter. You can say shit, fuck, bollocks, and you can even say cunt if you want. Oh, it doesn't make any difference.
Well, that's how we were tonight. Shit, fuck, bollocks.
Everybody, this is Chad. I did a preview show with him at the beginning of the season, and he said, you're going to smash us, 5-0. I did a preview show with him midweek. He said, you're going to murder us. It was 6-0. He's nothing if not correct. Everybody say hello to Chad in the chat. He's the American that supports Sheffield United. And people wanted to know why. And also, this is Deke, who's doing the show with me, fellow Gooner.
What's going on, Chad? How you doing, buddy? Fair play to you for jumping on the podcast to have a discussion about this. I'm pretty sure I was like the first one to ask Danny to ask you why you follow Sheffield United. And fair play to you for it, for a challenge. And what a challenge you've set yourself, Chad.
It's been more of a be different than everybody else. Because over here in the States, you have your glory hunters, you have your Man City supporters, your Arsenal supporters, and that's no offense. I mean, you guys, you know, Chelsea, Liverpool, all that stuff. Everybody jumps on.
Yeah.
Everybody jumps on the bandwagon of the teams that win a lot and are top of the table, but it's more fun on the journey. And I try to tell that to people every time, especially, you know, now the Premier League's trying to swallow up all, you know, outliers of football fans over here in the States. And they know, I know more than, I'm not going to say, as an American, I probably know more than 92% of American football fans over here. Because I have knowledge of just not only the Premier League, the Championship, League One, and League Two.
Nice.
So when I have people come up to me and they said, Chad, who should I follow? I said, stay away from anybody in the top six. I said, I'll pull up the Premier League table. I said, but if you really want to go for your – put your money where your mouth is, spend $200 on one team's streaming site. You know, I follow for the teams down in the in League One and League Two. Follow them. You know, get on a journey. I said, put your money where your mouth is and actually go support a Cheltenham. Go support a Charlton. Go support somebody that doesn't win. And I kid you not, when your team succeeds, it's so much better.
Yep, you fall in love with the basics.
You come into a league like this and we have no chance. And you'll be talking to probably, I don't know, an Ipswich fan next year after you guys hammer them 6-0 and they're like, but it was fun because we were in League One two seasons ago and have been wallowing around in League One. And now, you know, they're on the doorstep of doing the back-to-back promotions to come up into the Premier League.
Yep.
But they're going to get smashed next year.
The tractor boy?
It's going to be – there's too big of a golfing class.
Yeah.
We've got some of your fellow Americans in the chat. BX Gunner, he's a fellow American. Hell no, I've been repping the Gunners since 2005. Best decision I ever made. That's quite true. Who else in here is American?
Chad's right, though. Falling in love with the grassroots ideal of football. Danny knows, obviously, I've been an Arsenal supporter since I was a little lad. My whole family are Arsenal. We're all from North London. I had no choice in the matter. It was Arsenal or you're a homeless child. But I do have a lot of love for other clubs as well. For example, Sorrento, who are performing so well in Serie C at the moment. They just got promoted from Serie D, which can there's nine different tiers, nine different leagues in Serie D. And then you get into Serie C and there's three different leagues. But they're mid-table at the moment. They're performing well above their station at the moment. And I'm really enjoying it. Loving Sorrento. Love Sorrento Calcio. And Sparta Prague. I've been a massive Sparta Prague fan for many, many years as well. And they just won the league for the first time since 2016 last year. And they're starting to really start to blossom and turn back into the team that they were back in the day. And who's the director of football at Sparta Prague? Tomasz Rosicki, the man himself. So I love following grassroots football. For example, Hayward Heath as well, Danny. You know I do a lot of work with Hayward Heath. They're a tiny little team down in Sussex. West Sussex. So I love grassroots football because it gives you the opportunity to fall in love with football all over again. And it's not about the money. It's not about the fame. And it's not about the attitudes and the personalities. It's about a group of lads who want to work well, want to work hard for each other to try and become successful. And that's where that's what people fell in love with in the very beginning, isn't it? We fell in love with the passion of the game, not about the money of the game. And I've said this for years, Arsenal Football Club, it's franchises now. That's all these big clubs are getting turned into are franchises. And it's unfortunate to see the money infecting, I think that's the word, it's infecting football at the moment. And it's destroying the culture and the passion. And Chad's completely correct. I love the idea that you support Sheffield United. Unfortunately, not tonight. But the story, you've got to love the journey, not the destination. You've got to fall in love with the journey.
Exactly.
And well played to Chad for coming in here with a bunch of gooners. We've just battered his team 6-0 just to talk about Sheffield United. I want to hear more about Sheffield United, Danny, if I'm honest with you, and why and his understanding of Sheffield United and where he thinks that Sheffield United are going to be in the next few years. Stuff like
that. Yeah, we've got all night. If you want to talk about that, you can do.
I'm up for that. I'm up for that.
You want to talk about the game? There's nothing to fuzz.
Give us your 2 pence on the game, Chad.
I mean, I didn't have an opportunity to watch it. I was listening to it on radio, and I'm a bit old school. I like still listening to football on the radio. I feel like you could watch a game and it could be like watching paint dry, but listening to it on radio, whether it be BBC or TalkSport or even BBC Radio Sheffield, I listened to the entire game. And were you guys expecting anything else than a 6-0 drubbing? I think the last three games,
7-0.
It could have been. It was what? 2-0 inside of 5 minutes or 7 minutes, and 4-0 inside of 21 minutes.
Yeah, it was 2-0 after like 12 minutes. It was 2-0 after 12 minutes, and then it was 3-0 after like 15 minutes, and then that's when you made a substitution and went into a back five situation, which I thought that's what you should have started with from the very beginning. It was quite adventurous to use Austin Trusty as like
he sucks anyway.
I don't understand what that was all about, trying to match him up against Bukayo Saka, easily one of the best wingers in the world right now. And he got absolutely demolished, unfortunately. I feel bad for Trusty, if anything. He was kind of put out to dry in a bad way.
We could have put 11. We could have put a line of 11 and still would have got battered 6-0. It is what it is. That's what we sold our best two players, Illiman and Jai and Sanderberg before the season started. So that puts you behind the eight ball. You bring in a bunch of what I call bums that had not been playing in teams anywhere around, in and around Europe. Yeah, I understand we have to take a flyer on these players because we don't have deep pockets. We've got to bring in a lot of players on loan. And when you sell your best players, I said it when we sold them. I said, that's it. We're down. I said, we're not going to be competitive. And everybody's like, oh, you're just negative. You're just negative. I said, just watch, just watch. And then we held in there for the first four games. Then we played 2.5 hours of added time at Tottenham. And then they gave them every chance until I'm surprised we didn't, as the minutes went on, they didn't start taking our guys off the pitch. And by the end of the game, Spurs are going 11 against 3. And then, oh, you finally scored. Okay, now we can call the games over. So after that, that's the watershed mark where everything kind of went downhill. Then you had the Newcastle 8-0. You guys beat us in the reverse fixture at the Emirates 5-0. Just a bunch of batterings throughout the year. I mean, I think this is our fourth time this year, or fourth league game
in a row.
Giving up fifth game, giving up five goals.
Yeah.
We're clearly going to hit the 100 goal conceded mark. We've got it here.
I've got first league club in English football history to concede 5+ goals. Oh, it's four. You're right. It is four. 5+ goals in 4 straight home matches, all competitions.
Because Brighton got us twice. Brighton got us twice in the span of 3 weeks. it's no fun, but you know, it's one of those where you have delusional you have delusional fans going into the season being, oh my God, we're going to be able to hang on. We're going to be able to hang on. You sack Heckingbottom halfway through after he gets drubbed 5-0 against Burnley. Bring Wilder in. Oh my God, he's going to change us. We're going to stay up. Oh, I'm like, dude, you guys are morons. We're going to go down. We're going to go down. If I have a buddy right now that was texting me, do you think, like, how many more wins are they going to get? How many points? I said they're going to get zero more wins. They might get two random-ass draws and finish on 15 points. That's it. They're not going to win again a game the rest of the season. It is what it is. I mean, you battered us. And next year, I think we're a middle-of-the-pack team. Everybody's going to say, but what? You're getting all these parachute payments. Well, there's 17 players we have out of contract. We spent a little over all the undisclosed fees. I'm going to nail it down about 50 to 70 million pounds this year. I don't even think we spend more than 30 million next year. It's not going to be enough. If we finish top half of the championship next year, I would be amazed. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see us do the back to back in League One in 2 years.
I'll give you a little nugget of positivity, Chad. At least you're not Derby back in 2007, 2008, who only recorded 11 points in the Premier League, the lowest ever points collected in a Premier League season in history. So at least you've beaten that. You've got 3 points.
You've beaten it.
Speaking of grassroots football again, I've got love for Derby County as well. I literally live down the road from Derby County now. Nice. I fell in love with the club years ago. And they were pretty much going to go liquidated last season. And I've seen them live numerous times. I love Derby Club. They're a fantastic little football club. Yep. But anyway, what Chad, if you were in charge of Sheffield United right now, what would you do? What changes would you make to try and the chances of you staying up are pretty much gone.
Yeah.
They're pretty much gone. You're minus 50 on goal difference. You've conceded 72 goals this season. You're probably looking. Do you think you're going to get 100 goals conceded in a season?
Easily. They'll concede 100 goals with probably 3 or 4 games left to spare. Wow. We need 28 goals conceded. We're probably conceding at a clip right now of about 3.5 goals a game. What do we got? 11 games left. You know, three times 11 is 33. So that puts you over the 100 goal mark.
So what would you do, Chad, if you were in charge and you tried to not steady the ship or whatever, but just try and bring back at least some fucking dignity at this point?
If I was in charge, what I would do is, I mean, you're basically throwing something at the wall and it's not going to stick. Sure. Okay, we have some youth players in the side. You have to reassess going forward in the last 11 games and be, okay, this player is going to be here. This player is going to be here next year. This player is going to be here next year. This, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
These guys aren't. Throw them to the Wolves. I mean, I understand it's, you know, throwing it to the Wolves is, you know, it's a bit harsh. But you have to get some continuity in the team going forward, going down in the championship. And that's the biggest thing that we didn't have the year we got relegated out of the Premier League last. Going into that next championship season, yeah, we brought, you know, we built our team up a little bit. But for the first 11 games, we looked lost as last year's Easter egg. And so this, if you build up, you get a little bit of cohesiveness in those players. And I'm not saying you're going to have 11 players out there and this is going to be the team in the championship. We've got to get a core, you know, if the midfield, if you're going to keep a bunch of players in the midfield, get them working in and out, game in, game out, get them working together. So, you know, if you plug in different pieces around them, so to speak, you at least know the midfield's going to be cohesive. Yes, they're going to still get battered in the midfield and not be able to complete a pass within 2 or 3 yards. But at least they know, you know, everybody, you know, other midfielders, you know, traits and how they get on. Yeah, it sucks. They suck. They suck. Our midfield's terrible. Every one of them suck. Every player in this team sucks. They all need to be scrapped. But you can't do that. You can't be that harsh. You have to build something for next year. You have to be able to build a core. And I think the one thing United's going to build towards is building a younger core, because you have the likes of the players that got you out of the championship so many years ago that are getting old. It's time to turn the squad over. I said it going into the season. It's time to turn the squad over. We've got to get younger. There's plenty of players in the championship that will want to play for us, seeing as we just came down and we're like, oh, yeah, I'll go to them. They have a chance going up next season. But with all this being said, the thing that needs to happen first is we've been up for sale for 2 years. 2 years.
Right.
And not one legal, liable owner has come in. And who was it? Oh, West Brom just got bought by an American businessman. I think he's Indian or Arabic. Just got bought last week. They're in the middle of the championship. Middle. Well, they're going to make the playoffs this year, so I stand corrected. But us, I understand we're more attractive if we drop down because you get us for a cheaper price. But what in the hell? We must be the biggest poison chalice out there that no one wants to touch us with a million-foot pole. And it's like if we get sold and bring somebody in with a plan of where we want to go over the next few years and build for just a five-year plan, just something small, I'd be okay with that. But right now, we're just a rudderless ship just kind of marauding around this wide-open ocean, and we're circling the drain. And as I said, if they don't get it right and bring in, you know, reinvest in this club and bring in better players, you could be looking at us in 2 years in League One.
Need to build yourself out of, sorry, Danny, you need to build yourself out of becoming what's known as the yo-yo club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sheffield United have been a yo-yo club now, Danny, for how long? Decades.
Quite a few, but going back in history, there was a team, there is a team called Swansea City. 1978, they got promoted from Division 4. Next season, Division 3, Division 2, Division 2, made it to Division 1. Then two seasons in Division 1, one season in Division 2, two seasons in Division 3, and then back to Division 4. 10 years to go from the top league to the bottom league, and from the bottom to the top to the bottom again. But they did win 3 Welsh Cups along the way. Phil asks a question for you, Chad. Was there no one else other than Chris Wilder that you could have brought in?
No. Simple is because he took a hometown discount. He's a Sheffield born lad. He played for United. He went on the journey when they were bottom of League One. He came in. He took them on the run going through League One, 100-point season that first season, then a couple seasons in the Championship, then our best ever finish in the Premier League, ninth. If COVID didn't kill it, we probably – if COVID – I'm really curious, and hindsight's always 20/20, but I'm really curious to see if COVID hadn't came in and affected that season, where Sheffield United would have been now. Because I think they were taking the league by storm, and now granted, I could be talking out of my ass right now, and they could have got relegated the same thing the next season. But if they didn't – If they go on to finish ninth and it has a normal off season, you know, normal preseason, everything, I think we establish ourselves in a club or in the league as look at Brentford, what Brentford's done, Crystal Palace has done, Wolves has done, even Brighton, the likes of Brighton, even, you know, teams like that. I don't think we would have been in this position, but we would have also had to have an owner that wanted to spend money. And based on how he's been the last few years, he has spent jack squat. So Wilder took the hometown discount because everybody, I mean, even probably Stevie Wonder would be like, I can't see, but I can see they're horrible. I don't want to go in there and manage them. I mean, it was that. I mean, you guys could even, you know, just being outsiders, would you look at Sheffield United and be like, dude, they are awful. I am just going to have another relegation on my CV. I don't want that. I'll stay away from it.
Stan says, from who does is part of AVW, says, should have picked Sheffield Wednesday, Shad. They're shit as well. I mean, yeah. They're going to go down to League One next season, aren't they? This
exactly.
season.
Exactly. They'll be back in the third division where they belong. But I would like to see them stay up. And I know that's, oh my God, they're your rivals. Why? How could you say that? Because I want a Steel City derby. And yeah, I know they have had our hand over the last few derbies, but it just, you don't see those rivalries in football anymore, especially like the Steel City derby. You have the derby between Sunderland and Newcastle, that, you know, Middlesbrough, Sunderland. You see those in the Championship, but you know, those rivalries need to be in the Premier League. You know, Liverpool, Everton, Spurs and Arsenal, you know, those rivalries are Premier League rivalries. And the couple I just talked about, there should be rivalries in the Premier League, but it's just more fun to play in the Championship.
Cheboy72 says, going to need some Arsenal chat soon, or I'll have to rewind to the beginning of the pod. Feel Chad's pain, but come on, 7 games in a row, 500 goals scored. Chad, how do you think we're Arsenal going to get on this season? Because you obviously watch a lot of football. Have we got what it takes to win the Premier League, especially on this run of smashing everybody?
Isn't it crazy, Danny, the fact that we're even asking that question? We're playing so well, but because Man City's like the T-1000 from Terminator True. 2, it's just like a workhorse.
If they didn't exist, we'd have won the league already.
Yes, exactly.
I think you guys, because you play City in what, 2 or 3 weeks?
31st. So we've got Brentford coming up, and then we've got Porto, and then we did have a game against Chelsea on the 16th, but that's been cancelled because they've got an FA Cup game now. So that means we're going to have basically nearly 3 weeks without a game after the Porto game before the Manchester, before going up to the empty had. To play Manchester City. Nice, nice. And that's probably obviously going to be the most important game of the season. It's crazy that we can say these comments about how Arsenal is so dominant, but we're still not the favourites because Manchester City exists.
You guys still have to play Liverpool too, right?
No,
we beat them 3-1 and drew 1-1.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So that's done. So I think when you play Man City the 31st of March, I think you guys beat them and take them out.
Really?
Yes, I think you beat them and take them out. But the whole thing is I'm trying to figure out how the scriptwriters are going to get Jurgen Klopp his swan song, send him off into the sunset, manager of the year, league title. What's the point gap between you guys? 2 points in Liverpool?
Well, now, 1 point, I think.
It's 1 point now? Whew, this might come down to the last day.
One or two. Oh, I'm just going to kind of have a quit.
Yeah, I don't know. You guys are the best team in the best form in the league right now, in my opinion. You guys are playing absolutely out of your minds. You might pip Liverpool, but I think the referees might, couple harsh or rash decisions might go Liverpool's way to give Mr. Klopp his, here you go, you can win it in front of fans, and then Liverpool will fall off in the next 15 years. But, I mean, you guys are in with this without a shout. With a shout, without a doubt. I'm going to put some money on you. That's for sure.
I think it's working in our favor that we're not leading the race. We are part of the pack, the three-man pack at the top of the table. And so there's not as much pressure and everything like that. And every time you hear the Arsenal players speak after the games that we're winning 5-6-0 on the bounce and stuff, we're coming across still very, very humble. Even Arteta, in his post-match speech today, talking about how we'll enjoy tonight, but from tomorrow we'll be focusing on the Brentford game. And that's exactly what you want your players to be saying. That's exactly what your manager wants to be saying. Yeah, okay, it's fun to be winning 6-0. I predicted 7-0 because, I'm sorry, Chad, Sheffield United are playing so bad this season. So bad. So I was predicting 7-0. But to win 6-0 and go, we need to be focusing on Brentford, I think that's basically saying we're playing really well at the moment. phenomenally at the moment. However, exactly. However, a league title is still very much within our grasp. So we need to take a moment, take a step back so we can go and attack this properly. And hopefully we can do that on the 31st.
Yeah, certainly if you guys beat City at the end of the month, surely have to be favored. Yeah.
Anything can happen.
City, that's it.
Yeah, I agree. Anything can happen if we beat City. I think it's doable. I'm worried about this 2-3 week break, whether it will be in our benefit or a hindrance. There's going to be a lot of questions asked because the match fitness is 100% not going to be there. So I don't know if Arsenal may do another little break or something like that. Maybe do like an emergency training away for a week or something like that. I don't know.
Do the Wim Hofstadt thing where they go to Iceland and swim in frozen water.
Something like that. Why not?
Team bonding.
That's it.
That'll do them up. So, an hour and 25 minutes for a post-game pod. Not too bad. People, if you want to find Chad on the Twitter, it's CJARVIS_13. His podcast is called The Red Half of Sheffield. If you want to, I'll be linking his podcast and his @ for Twitter in the details on YouTube and on our website and on OnlyFans and all the other places where we've got stuff. And that's it. I mean, you can stay with us for the rest of the show. We'll be done in a minute. What?
I'll ask one more question, Chad.
Go on, him.
I'll ask one more question. If you could take one Arsenal player from our team,
Saka,
right now, okay, Saka, just take Bakaya straight off the bat. Not Rice. Mm-mm. No, Saliba. Saka.
Saka. Right. Yeah, okay, I've watched him over the years, and from where he's been. And where he was to where he is now, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's true. That's
if
true.
They could I get agree. Harry Kane out of the England squad, they'd win the World Cup.
I completely agree with you. I think we need to get rid of Southgate first. The guy is like, he's the oldest young manager. he's still using, who's the keeper, Everton keeper?
Pickford.
Still using Pickford, still using Maguire in every opportunity he gets. Yeah. He can't help himself. I tell you what, if Paul Scholes was still playing football at the age he is now, I think he'll probably try and play Paul Scholes. Until we get rid of Southgate and we play this very old-fashioned style of football, England's not going to happen until Southgate moves on.
Certainly isn't, but that's a whole new thing we might discuss in the podcast that me and Deke do called Talking Bullocks. And yes, we're not going to bring up that, some sort of stuff. Well, that is the end of the show. The next show is going to be Stan. You're there. If Stan is available, it'll be Friday night, North American time, because Stan is English but lives in Canada, as we all know. Or it'll be early AM in the UK, depending on what time Stan is here for the preview show. And then Saturday, 5:30 kickoff. So are you free on Saturday, Deke? 7:30, 8 o'clock, something like that?
Of course.
Lovely. And then midweek, so about a week, just over a week from now, we have the Porto preview on the Tuesday, playing Porto on the Wednesday. I don't know. Could be the other way around for
Tuesday. We're playing Tuesday.
Ah, so the preview Monday and the game on Tuesday. Lovely. Yeah. But this week's podcast, I've got absolutely no idea when it's going to be because it's only Melvin is available at the moment. Jeff Arsenal turned us down. Sad times, bro. Sad times. So it might just be me and the cat. Well, I've got five of the fuckers. Right. So, thank you very much to everybody that watched. Thank you very much, Chad. It was interesting to have you on. Might have you on again sometime just to talk about football.
I like the passion
about the football. Yeah, that's good.
We're all lower league fans. My Barnet and Peterborough and my shit.
I've seen Barnet play. I've seen Barnet play loads. I was living in Barnet for years when I was
Southend United, baby.
My commiserations. So if you want to find Chad, all the details will be on the information on YouTube and that lot. Deke, you've been, what have you been? You've been tantalizing. That's what you've been.
You normally say effervescent, but yeah, fine. Tantalizing.
I've run out of busy drink. They've both gone flat.
All I'm going to say is Kai Havertz, he's a pretty decent football player. And I said that from the beginning. So you can all suck it.
And to cheer everybody up, top right hand corner. Oh, the wonderful Mr. Jeff Hoolenfund and everyone's favourite Canadian. Oh, we miss you, Jeff. I might send him a message, actually. He said he'll come on. Didn't organise it. Typical. Right, that's the end of the show. I'm doing this all cock-handed because my mouse died, RIP, and it's currently on charge, so I'm having to do it with about a one-foot-long lead to charge it up. Right, thank you very much, everybody. See you later. If you are new, give it a subscribe. Maybe a thumbs up. Really doesn't matter because YouTube hates us because I keep saying cunt. That doesn't help anybody. Thank you much and goodbye. Where's the button? There it is.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Get down, dog. Splendid business.
He nearly caught the bloody thing. What are you talking about?
So I was just eating a full quiche. Well, you don't often see them at Ibs, so when you see them in the supermarket, they need to be swagged, microwaved immediately, and get the brown sauce on and bosh, Bob's your uncle.
Never in doubt.